right, greetings. Welcome in. Better's Last Stand Show number 97 from the Pine Room Studios, beautiful downtown Wheeling on a fall feeling day out there around the Ohio Valley. So we're very hopeful that this weather continues as we head towards Pine Room season and football season. And we're pretty much have arrived at football season. We got preseason NFL going on this week again. Full gauntlet of that over the weekend. And college football week zero starting up on Saturday. So college football from here until after Christmas. So good stuff there with all the bowl games and everything after Christmas and the playoffs. So lots to unpack here as we get you ready for another season of college football and pro football here on Better's Last Stand. Reminder, this is brought to you by the Brownie House, as always, our good friends at the Brownie House. That's yesbrownies.com. Visit them today. Use promo code PINEROOM for 20% off your order. All right, let's get into it. Well, we hit another golf one last week. We had Lydia Ko 2 weeks ago, or a week ago, however you want to look at it, at the Olympics from the women's golf event. She won it 40-1, and this week we cashed on Hideki Matsuyama 29-1. So very, very happy about that victory, and we were up about 23 units, just a little over 22, so 22-40 last week. So solid week, not great in anything but the golf, but we did have a couple AFL winners that we added to the car. We went 6-2 in our AFL futures, so Australian rules, not bad. We weren't very good last week, though, in the single games, that is for sure. But recapping our statistics from the week, again, up about 23 units. AFL, I was 5-7, CFL, 3-2, WNBA, 3-3. The English Championship, we were 1-2 and 1-3 in the EPL, so not very good. Hideki Matsuyama kept us afloat. So we had the just the last week for the Olympics, we were up almost 45 units, and we counted those. Just want to refresh everybody on that one. We had wins in women's golf with Lydia Ko. We had a win in field hockey. We had a win in beach volleyball, water polo, wrestling, 3-on-3 basketball, and women's basketball. AFL futures, again, 6-2 on the season, so that was pretty good. Our only losers, I believe, were the Adelaide Crows over and the West Coast Eagles. It was West Coast Eagles under, I think, was our only two that we didn't get home right there. So a good start for that. And we head into the playoffs. We got one more week of the regular season left there. Again, Matsuyama cashes for us at 29-1 in golf last week at the FedEx St. Jude Classic out in Memphis. Billy Horschel with top 10 for us. And then on the LIV Tour, we had Louis Oosthuizen with a top 10, so that helped us a little bit. It was Brooks Koepka getting it done down at the LIV Golf down at the Greenbrier last week. So Koepka usually seems disinterested in these things, but he got interested enough to win that one, so good stuff. NASCAR, we had 4 top 10s and 2 top 5s. We had Ty Gibbs had a really good run. He was a top 5 car. We had Brad Keselowski in the top 5, and then we had Chris Buescher just outside the top 5 in 6th, and Daniel Suarez in 8th. So solid in NASCAR as well. Sam's guys didn't quite get home. Chastain, he had Gibbs and Bubba Wallace. Sam will be back with us today. He's got his elbow problem worked out, and he'll be ready to go. All right, recapping a little bit of baseball here before we get into the heavy portion of the card, which will feature football, all forms, Canadian, Australian, and of course American football for everybody that just loves that. We'll talk about that. The Travers Stakes is this week as well, so we'll touch on a little bit of horse racing in the second segment of the program. All right, baseball, things are starting to come a little clearer right now. You have a few contenders, you have a few teams starting to fall apart. Joining the Pirates on the teams that are falling apart is poor B-Max Mariners. The Seattle Mariners continue to struggle. They lose again last night to the Dodgers. They're struggling. They're like 6 or 7 out right now. By the time you listen to this, they might be 8 or 9 out. They have not got the bats going. I thought the Rosarena trade was going to be huge for them, but the rest of their guys have went ice cold, and he's been okay, but they're losing the mojo, and the more that the crowd is not into a game in Seattle, the worse that guys like a Rosarena will be. So they got to get that corrected very soon, or they are in big trouble. San Diego Padres continue to roll. They had a couple stumbling blocks over the weekend, but they are playing great baseball right now, trying to track the Dodgers down, who have righted the ship there by their own right. They are pretty formidable at the top of that National League West, and I believe that the National League West still has a shot of getting 4 teams in. You have the Diamondbacks and Padres right now, who I'm convinced are both going to make the playoffs. They're both playing great. We gave you Padres to make the playoffs several weeks ago. Let's see what we had that at. I believe we had the Padres at minus 110. So, yeah, we had the Diamondbacks at minus 110 as well. Those are pretty good. We also gave you the San Francisco Giants at $6, plus $6, and they are looking pretty strong right now, playing good baseball, playing the White Sox right here, right now. I'm watching the game. So some good teams in play right there. We did have Seattle, though, who I'm very, very worried about right now. It might be the end for them. New York Mets continue to steal wins somehow. They're hanging around. Minnesota Twins as well. But if you go into the National League and you start to look, the Brewers are safely in. They got an 11-game lead. There's no catching them right now. Philadelphia is probably going to be okay, although if Atlanta could sweep them, they're playing a series right now. They took game one. Philadelphia is going to be in regardless. We'll see if Atlanta can continue to show some signs of life and hang on to that last spot. And then you got the Dodgers, Diamondbacks, and Padres with that one spot up for grabs between the Giants, the Braves, and what most people would say is the New York Mets. I don't necessarily agree with that. And then you got the teams in the Central Division, Cincinnati, Chicago, and St. Louis. I just don't think any of those teams are very good. St. Louis is not good at all. The Cubs aren't good at all. The Reds have picked it up, so I'll give the Reds some credit. So I think they still have a shot. So maybe the Reds are worth a shot. They seem like a team that can play with some momentum, and they got some series with the Pirates left, so that could be very big for them. They're going to definitely want to beat the Pirates, and that's going to help them to try to propel themselves into the playoffs. But it's going to take one of these teams to get on a nice run to be able to track down. Well, Atlanta's going to be able to be caught, but it can anybody track down the Diamondbacks or the Padres? I don't think so. I think those teams are safely in the playoffs right now. So hopefully you got those tickets in and you're looking pretty good. In the American League, it's going to be the Orioles or the Yankees. They're going to trade wins right there. Neither team's playing very well right now at all, but they're going to be the only teams probably in. Boston still, they would have a great shot if they had a better bullpen. Their bullpen has just been terrible, and it's let them down, and that's going to let us down on this bet. So if we don't get Boston home, it'll be strictly because of their bullpen. Seattle is fading right now, so you got to say they're about done. But Kansas City is playing very good right now. Minnesota, who I just don't believe is very good, they seem to be hanging on, though. So Minnesota and Kansas City right now holding on. Cleveland leads that division and is in good shape. And then Houston Astros playing great in the AL West. I still think the AL West and the NL West, that the bet that I made last week about those two teams meeting, a team from each of those divisions meeting in the World Series, I think has got a really good chance. Now, Seattle's falling out of it, which cheapens the bet a little bit, but you still have the Astros, and you have the Diamondbacks, the Padres, and the Dodgers, and even the Giants, who I probably don't think can make a run to the World Series, but they can definitely make the playoffs, and then anything could happen. And with the teams getting the byes having such a problem winning that first series when the other team's coming in with momentum, that could make the Giants live. So you never really do know about that. But moving on to golf. Again, we had a nice winner with Matsuyama last week. We'll take that anytime we can. It's the BMW this week at the Castle Pines Golf Club in Castle Rock, Colorado. Should be a good tournament. You're down to your final 50 guys here in the FedEx Cup, PGA Tour FedEx Cup. And Scottie Scheffler, your heavy favorite to win the cup, but it doesn't mean he's going to win this one. He's going to be hard to beat, as always. You're taking a cheap price on Scheffler, you know, $3, $4. I just can't bet that. Shoffley at 6-1. I couldn't talk somebody off him. He's having a great season as well. But we're going to go a little bit outside the box here. We're going to go with some longer shot players. Also, Victor Hovland taking a ton of steam right now. People are all over him. Played very well late last week, so maybe he figured out what was gone wrong with himself all season. He's been very poor, but picked it up quite a bit last week. He won this last year. He's around 18-19-1. I'm not ready to pull the trigger on Victor yet, so I'll give him another week, and maybe he'll make me pay for it. A couple of guys that I'm interested in, though. Tony Finau, 30-1. I like the way he sets up on this course. The greens and the grasses are surfaces that he plays very well on, so high on Finau. He has some elevation here. He's used to playing in areas, I believe he's from Utah. Got some elevation there where he started his golf career, so he's played a lot of golf at elevation. And then Will Zalatoris, who I guess if you're going to say Hovland got hot and is correcting towards the end of the year, you could say Zalatoris is doing the same. So take a shot with Willie Z at 75-1. That's pretty good in a 50-person field. This guy was in the hunt for some majors last year or 2 years ago before he had some injuries and has been a slow process getting back to form. But I like Zalatoris at 75-1 and Finau at 30-1. Those would be my top picks. Then we're going to go back to the well. We're going to go back to Patrick Cantlay, who was terrible last week. Thought he would have a chance of contending. Fortunately, we had Matsuyama as well as our second choice amongst the winning contenders. Cantlay around 22-1. He won this 2 years ago, so I think he is a contender here. Corey Connors has been very solid. I don't know if he can win. He's 38-1. I think a top 10 for him. He's had back-to-back top 10s in this event. And Billy Horschel, who turns it on when the pressure's on. So Billy Horschel is the kind of guy that I think he just likes to try to I think he kind of plays a villainous role, kind of. Like people, I don't know if people don't like him, but he kind of comes off as like he thinks people don't like him. So Billy Horschel with 42-1, I think he can do some damage out there and play pretty well. He's had some decent finishes. And then a couple other longer shots. Max Homa has not had a good year at all, but 95-1 on him, and he's played well at this tournament before. So take a shot with Homa, although this is a rotating course, so it's not always the same course, so it really doesn't matter that much. But I think Homa, being a West Coast guy, this is close to the West Coast, and I think he could come alive here. 94-1, we'll take a shot. And then Brian Harman, the lefty, 67-1. Not sure how this sets up for left-handers. I've read conflicting reports on that, so we shall see. But we'll go with Harman and Homa as our longer shots. Zalatoris and Finau are our top picks, and then Billy Horschel, Patrick Cantlay, and Corey Connors are the in-between, the meat of the sandwich, so to speak. All right, we're going to take a break here on Bettor's Last Stand. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk all things football. It's CFL. It's Aussie rules. It's NFL. It's college football. Everything you can imagine from a football standpoint after the break on Bettor's Last Stand. Show number 97. We'll be right back.
Reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only. All wagering activities should only be conducted by those 21 years of age or older and within the confines of federal, state, and local law. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, contact 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. All right, men, load the cannons and hold the line. You're listening to Bettor's Last Stand.
All right, greetings, everybody. This is Bettor's Last Stand, show number 97, coming to you from the Pine Room Watchdog Studio, downtown Wheeling. For our new listeners on the Watchdog Network, WKKX, we appreciate you joining us for the first time. We're going to be playing the Bettor's Last Stand podcast regularly in the 5 o'clock hour on our Fridays, our Football Fridays, the loaded Football Friday card that we have for you here on the Watchdog and from the Pine Room Studio. So we're excited to have you along with us today. We got a loaded card for you on Friday, as always. Bear and Bob, 12 to 2. Then the Pine Room Football Friday show on the Watchdog, presented by Gumby's and Jill's Gentlemen's Club. That will be from 2 to 5 every single Friday. 5 to 6 will be this show right here, Bettor's Last Stand. We're excited to be on the Watchdog Network. And again, thanks to everybody at the Watchdog team for making the Football Fridays possible. And we're going to try to give you as much football action as possible. And we'll tell you what, after Bettor's Last Stand, it's going to be some pregame for the high school games we're going to be carrying. We're going to be carrying games, three games across three different platforms the entire year for you. So we'll have Wheeling Park coming up on WKKX. We'll have Wheeling Central. I'm sorry, Wheeling Park will be on WVOY. Wheeling Central will be on WKKX. And John Marshall will be on our Watchdog stream at watchdognetwork.com. You can stream all three of those games, actually, in each week. Wheeling Central, Wheeling Park, and John Marshall. So you'll have to get three different radios and three different devices all set up so you can listen to all the games and get all the action right here on the Watchdog family of networks. We're excited to be involved with it. And our OVAC games of the week will kick off tonight. If you're listening to this on Friday, obviously you're on the radio, so I guess you would be. I'm used to doing this in podcast form. So if you're listening to it after Friday, then the Buckeye Local in Bel Air game, the first ever game at Nelson Field to be played at night. It's a 7 o'clock kickoff down at Bel Air. Everybody's excited about that one. We'll have Coach on the call for that one from the Pine Room. And then last night, you may have heard Soup on the call over at Shadyside and Martins Ferry, kicking off our OVAC game of the week on Thursday night here on the Watchdog. So we're excited about that. We got the Duggar Saucy Spread Challenge, which is a big thing where we pick high school games, five from West Virginia, five from Ohio, up and down the river. We do them against the spread, all for fun, of course, and we're not betting. Obviously, it's not legal to wager on high school sports. We're just having fun with it. I make the lines, and we had 14 or 13 competitors last year, and I think we're going to have at least 16 or 17 this year, so we're excited about that. Kayleen, a defending champion, she led all of us last year, picking ATS spreads in the various high school games. So we go 5-5 on each side of the river every week, and that's sponsored by Duggars, Duggars Market, Duggars Famous Chicken and Wings. Great stuff. If you haven't been out to Duggars, it is exceptional. This time of year when I start to get very, very hungry for Duggars, we have it quite often at the Pine Rim. So check them out whenever you're in the area. They're a wonderful, wonderful place to get your chicken products and all your other market type items down at Duggars. So anyway, let's get on with the football extravaganza here on the Watchdog. It's exciting to be here with you. We're going to hit on several things. And for those of you who aren't aware, Bettor's Last Stand is our sports betting show under the Pine Room Studios umbrella. And you can check the Pine Room Studios stuff out everywhere. At the Pine Room Studios on all of our social media, that is the handle. The YouTube page at that is the pineroomstudios.com there. Or I'm sorry, that's the website. The YouTube page is the YouTube page. You can look us up, Pine Room Studios, on YouTube and find all the various catalog of shows that we have here, whether it's Bettor's Last Stand, the regular podcast, Soup and Stuff, Pine Cellar Girls, all the things that go on here under the platform of the Pine Room Studios. So as you get to know us, I'm sure you do, you're a little bit familiar with us from our Watchdog radio show that we have Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. And now Fridays, of course, adjust to 2-5 for our football Fridays. But we still have our Tuesday show from noon to 3. That's a little variety show. We have a little bit of everything going on there, not just sports, a little bit of we dive into all kinds of things, whether it be heated discussions on social events, whatever it might be. And we have a lot of fun as well. So tune in for that one. Monday, which may be getting phased out here as this busy season comes, is just an hour show, 2-3. Usually wraps up the weekend, gets us ready for the coming week. We also carry Cleveland Browns football and West Virginia Mountaineers football right here on the Watchdog too. So check those games out, and you can obviously any game where the Browns are playing and any game that the Mountaineers are playing, you're going to be able to find it right here on the Watchdog family of networks. So we're excited for that. And again, Bettor's Last Stand, our sports betting show, concentrating on sports from the viewpoint of a sports bettor and a person that does sports betting for a living on the other side of the counter, a person that makes lines, a person that adjust lines, pricing, deals with all the different markets that are going on in the world of sports gambling right now, and deals with just all kinds of different player scenarios and things that happen and that are happening in the industry. We like to hit on that every single week. We talk about the industry, talk about things that are going on, both good and bad, and there's plenty of good, and there's a little bit of bad now, so you got to be aware of that. As more states continue to come online, you're going to find more and more issues popping up in the general idea is a lot of people just aren't aware of how this all works, and it can lead to problems. And you have people even working in the industry that maybe not knowing quite as much as they need to, and it can get people into some trouble. But we'll talk about all those things, various different items that pop up on a weekly basis. And we don't just do football here, but this segment, we're going to be predominantly football. But if you want to listen to the full podcast of Bettor's Last Stand, you can find it anywhere that you find your podcast, or you can go onto our YouTube page, Pine Room Studios, and you can go on to our website, thepineroomstudios.com, and you can get all the episodes of Bettor's Last Stand. We have 97 of them now, if you can believe it. We've done segments from time to time on the Watchdog Network, but this is going to be a regular thing for us on the football Friday. So again, excited to be here, and excited to talk football and sports wagering here with you folks on WKKX The Watchdog. All right, so let's go into it. We usually start off with the bad beats segment. I usually come into segment number two and talk about that. Some line moves in the NFL in the preseason games, which has really been catching my eye. 1-9 last week on line moves of 2.5 points or more. So that was, if a line was moving in the direction of the team, for instance, say the Steelers were laying 3 and the line went to Steelers -6 by the time the game kicked off, that would be a move towards the Steelers. Well, that would be a loser lately because they went 1-9 last week. So anytime where the line's moving in the favor of the team, meaning there's steam on there, heavy action on one side, you are seeing it work out the other way, and it did last week. Line move losers last week in the preseason NFL. Buffalo and Pittsburgh, Now, their total got steamed up from 33.5 to 38. And guess what the final score was? 9-3. So an easy under there, cigar smoking under there. New York Giants, they were plus 5.5. Big money on them. Came all the way down to almost a pick'em game. Giants go off at plus 1. They lost 28-10. Carolina Panthers, plus 3.5. Does open last week. They go off a 2.5-point favorite, and they lose the game outright, 15-12. Then the Chargers, plus 1 on the opener. They go up to a minus 3-point favorite, so a big 4-point steam up there. They lose the game 13-9. And then last, the Las Vegas Raiders opened at a 3.5-point favorite up to 7. They went off a 7-point favorite, lost the game 27-12. So those are just some examples of the big line movements. And so far, over the last 2 weeks, that's where you want to be. You want to be on the team where the line is not moving in favor of, and that is usually rare because when the regular season comes, you'll see those statistics turn around a little bit, maybe not as pronounced, but they'll be significantly in the favor of the team with the steam early on if you can get the best of the number. It hasn't mattered here so far. And unders, just unders are going incredibly well so far here. 26-6, if you can believe it, over the first 2 weeks of NFL full card preseason. 26-6 to the under. So if you're playing those blindly, you're having a pretty good start to your football season, and your bankroll is getting very, very juicy as you head into college football week 0 and college football pro football week 1 and 2 coming up here in the next few weeks. Another bad beat, England Championship, Sheffield United, minus 140 on the money line. They led the game 2-0, and this is soccer action, folks, so it's not 2-0 is a nice lead in soccer. Maybe it's like hockey now, the worst lead in hockey, 2-0 or 2-goal lead. Anyway, Sheffield United in the Championship League, they led 2-0. They are minus 140 on the money line. They're in the 55th minute when QPR, their opponent, has a man sent off. So they have a man advantage here, leading 2-0. You would think that was all but done with. Well, no. QPR scores twice in the last 20 minutes to tie the game at 2-2. So that one stung a little bit if you had Sheffield there, I feel for you. Moving on to some other industry news. The National Football League Players Association has filed a civil suit against DraftKings. Yes, DraftKings Sportsbook, if you can believe this. As this is how it was labeled, anticipatory breach of contract. So they're anticipating a breach of contract. They filed this in the Southern District of New York, the old Chuck Rhodes District. DK is the official betting partner of the NFL. So this is a little bit of a conflict here. We'll see how this shakes out. I'm not sure exactly what they're citing here, but more news will come out, and we will keep you posted on Bettors Last Stand when more information is available. That is for sure. Moving along, Notre Dame is suspending their swimming program, if you can believe this. Yes, the swim program at Notre Dame is now being suspended for the 24-25 season as they are investigating, or actually an investigation already has happened, and it revealed that the swimmers created their own internal sports book. This is incredible. I actually got to give them points for creativity. Sorry they got busted. It is pretty cool. Internal sports book to gamble on their own performances. Notre Dame also cited other corrosive culture issues. That's a quote. Corrosive culture issues. So maybe there was more to it than just that, and then that was the topping of it all, and that's what they decided to tell people in the news because it would look better than a sexual hazing scandal or something along those lines. I'm not saying that happened, but it's very possible. You don't know what could have went on there. But anyway, internal sports book shut down for the Notre Dame swim program as somebody just smashed one out into McCovey Cove for the Giants. Looks like Michael Conforto. And there's some people kayaking out to get the baseball. U.S. sportsbooks revenue for the second quarter of the year, this is staggering, up 35.5%. That is immense. $3.16 billion worth of profit. That's not handle. That was profit. The sportsbooks showed in the quarter number two. That's amazing. The largest sportsbook wager at Caesars to this point, $30,000 on the Las Vegas Raiders. Actually, that's the most exposure. $30,000 on the Las Vegas Raiders at 80-1. It would pay out $2.48 million were they to win the Super Bowl. I think they're probably safe. I think Caesars is probably safe with the Raiders. They have a lot of problems. They got a really bad offensive line. They have inexperienced quarterback play. I think Minshew will be okay for a while, but he turns it over too much. So I don't expect the Raiders to be much of a contender. I think they'll be okay, but not going to be a team that I'm going to be thinking is going to win a lot of games. All right, some preseason trends as we head into another week of preseason games here. The last one before we get going with the real stuff. Here's some trends that you may want to keep an eye on. The Atlanta Falcons, 4-22 against the spread in their last 26 preseason games. Yikes. Didn't really realize that. The Houston Texans, 11-22 under run in the preseason so far. So a lot of unders happening there. So I believe, which I should have wrote it down as 22-11 to the under run. So 11 overs, 22 unders. So get on the unders there for Houston. New York Giants, 12-3 to the over their last 15. And the Seattle Seahawks, 11-2 to the under in their last 13 in the preseason. So good stuff there if you choose to indulge yourself in preseason football. A lot of people do not like to do that. But I think you can find some value out there. And I think if you're on the right side and you can find some inside scoop, you got a shot of winning some cash. Colorado continues to be the biggest liability for sportsbooks across the country as numerous players have taken the buffs to win the Big 12 and college football playoff. Action everywhere. We're taking it to our place. People are taking it all over town. Everybody I'm talking to across the area, across the region, across the country is taking Colorado Buffalo's money to win the various potential prizes. I'm not certain that they're going to do a whole lot of winning, but we shall see. And then Hawaii, a 38-point favorite this week against the Delaware State Hornets. And Delaware actually missed their plane yesterday trying to get out to Hawaii. Not sure that will affect it very much. But this is the first time Hawaii's been favored by a margin like this, 38 or more, since 2018 when they're, I believe, a 39-point favorite against Duquesne right up the road from us here. So the Warriors probably aren't going to be very good, but they're improving. Now, this will be Timmy Chang's best team so far. I'm going to talk about that when we review the Week 0 card. And then a little bit of baseball. Paul Skeens, oh boy, how the mighty have fallen. And this really isn't his fault. He's worn down a little bit, but still a wonderful, phenomenal pitcher. Skeens down from minus 4,000 to minus 225, and I actually saw some minus 175s even today to win the National League Rookie of the Year as the Pirates continue their slide, and Skeens is going down with them. Circa Survivor and Circa Millions, a lot of the contests getting underway out in Nevada. Would love to bring something like that here to this area. Maybe we'll do that sometime if we can get the support we need to make something like that happen. But Circus Survivor and Millions, documentaries out on that right now. You can check it out. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube or X. And pretty cool stuff as they go through and review how last year went. A lot of the people that were involved down to the final 10 or 12, the interviews and a lot of inside scoop about how their strategies play out and how they even got into it. So pretty cool stuff there. $1,000 buy-ins on some of those, and they're very, very big, and the pools continue to grow, and there's no rake in that one at Circa. They don't take anything out, which is just absolutely remarkable. So Derek Stevens, Mike Palm, those guys deserve a ton of credit for that. All right, before we get to football, we got to jump into a tad bit of horse racing. I know I promised a mostly football hour here as we lead you up to fabulous football, OVAC football coming up here in a little bit. We got the pregame show coming up at 6 o'clock, followed by the kickoff over at Nelson Field between Bel Air and Buckeye Local at 7. All right, so we got the Travers Stakes. This is like the Midsummer Derby up at Saratoga. It's been a little bit of a weird year in horse racing. You have no Belmont Park because it's getting renovated, so you have Saratoga hosting the Belmont Stakes. So some of these horses that would have run in the Belmont, they already ran at Saratoga in technically the Belmont, but it really wasn't the Belmont. Anyway, an 8-horse field makes up the Travers Stakes. It's race 13 on the card on Saturday up at Saratoga, and it's a pretty good field, I will say. Sometimes you get some horses that are just at the point of exhaustion by this point, and they don't ship them. Now, you don't have Mystic Dan. He's shut her down for the year. But his stablemate, Torpedo Anna, is one of the favorites here. And, yes, she is a girl. It's a filly running against 7 boys in 3-year-old thoroughbred racing. So, anyway, let's go through the field here. Again, Torpedo Anna, the filly, 3-1. Brian Hernandez, the jockey, he rode Mystic Dan in the Kentucky Derby and won for the same trainer, Kenny McPeak. So that combination, pretty successful so far this year. He is a pace setter, or she, I say he, because I'm used to saying he in the Travers. She is a pace setter. She should be up on the pace. She's coming in off of a win at the California Coaches Club Oaks. So a good win there at Saratoga. She won the Acorn, and she won the Kentucky Oaks. So a very, very productive year for her so far. Has been red, red hot. Has been up near the lead every single time. Can she get this distance of a mile and a quarter? I don't really know, but I got to use her. I'm not saying she's going to win this race. She could get blocked in a little bit, but I think she's got a lot of run in her, and she could be just better than all these. I wish that she would have ran in some of the Kentucky Derby races, like the, you know, Triple Crown races, but she had a good stable mate, so Kenny McPeak wasn't going to waste two bullets there. So Torpina in it takes the Kentucky Oaks, and then the next day, Kenny McPeak wins the Derby with Mystic Dan, so he had a hell of a weekend, that's for sure. Torpedo in it, though, cannot be dismissed here. Pace is going to be good. It's going to be fair, but I don't think it's going to be scorching. So I think she'll have enough stamina to be able to hang. I will be using her on my superfecta ticket and my trifecta ticket. Second horse drawing the two posts, it'll be Sierra Leone. And again, Torpedo Inn in the one post, if I didn't say that. The two horse, Sierra Leone, comes in. Chad Brown, Flavian Pratt. Heard me talk about him before on the Pine Room Watchdog radio show. We talked about heading into the Kentucky Derby, how much I like Sierra Leone. He was in my trifecta. He finished second in that race. He ran third in the Belmont. He ran second in the Jim Dandy, both of those races at Saratoga. He has a second and a third at this distance, a mile and a quarter, which I like a lot. He's got a great jockey trainer combination with Chad Brown and Flavian Pratt. And I got to use Sierra Leone because he's going to come closing fast. He's going to need a little bit more pace. So if you're looking up there and you're seeing the clock, and if you see 47s, like low, mid-47s, he's going to have a very good chance. If you see closer to 49 for the half, you're probably going to see him running late, but he probably isn't going to be able to make up enough ground. So I'm going to give him a shot here, and he's going to be a definite use underneath for me. The three, Unmatched Wisdom. This is another Chad Brown. Irad Ortiz, of all people, the top jockey in the world right now, comes in. This horse very, very lately raced. Didn't race as a two-year-old. Has raced just three times in his career. Never in a graded stakes. Very much pace dependent, it looks like. He's going to go right out to the lead, and he's going to want to run as long as he can. Never touched this distance before. A lot of concerns there, but Irad Ortiz jumping on board has to make you think a little bit that the horse might have some talent. For them to spot him here, it's almost like the ownership group maybe wanted him to come here, but it is Klarovich, and they're wildly successful, so there would be no reason for them to force this horse in here. I'm a little surprised at this. The horse does have a win at Saratoga, but three races against this field, it's going to be pretty tricky for me. I'm going to pass on Unmatched Wisdom, the number three. Moving on to the four, Corporate Power comes in for Shug McGahee, Javier Castellano, and this horse is interesting to me. Saratoga, he's got a second place finish there. He ran in the Curlin Stakes, and the Sir Barton, he won. Shug McGahee, a guy who brings his people along a little slower. He and Bill Mott, horse is what I mean. They bring their horses on a little slower than most people. It's not a speed, you know. They're not trying to make them good right away. They'll take the long game approach and have the horses running better as they continue to get experience. Corporate Power will be a closer. He'll be coming from mid-pack, probably not too far back. But I like this horse a lot. I'm going to use him underneath. I think he's getting better. I like the win at the Sir Barton on Pimlico day at the Preakness. And he's got the win over the Saratoga track, which is always good. And I think he's progressing in the right direction. He had a bullet workout, which is he was first out of 45 horses that ran on August the 16th. So I like that about him as well. So Corporate Power is going to be my long shot play in here. He's 15-1 in the morning line. The five horse, Batten Down, Bill Mott and for Judd Mott Farms and Junior Alvarado. He was third in the Jim Dandy. He won the Ohio Derby. This is a big step up. I think the third in the Jim Dandy, he really couldn't touch Fierceness or Sierra Leone. Bill Mott, does a great job getting these horses to progress a little bit longer. It's very similar to Shug McGahee. So I took a really hard look at this horse if I could find anything that I really loved about him. He's one for one at the distance, which isn't bad. But I think this is a huge step up. This is not the Ohio Derby, and I don't think he would be able to outduel Fierceness or Sierra Leone in this spot again. Honor Marie, Whitworth Beckham, and Tyler Gaffleone, the hook up here. I've never been a fan of this horse. A lot of people love this horse in the Kentucky Derby. He ran eighth that day. He really did not threaten. He ran fourth, beaten 5 1/4 at the Belmont. He has run 1 1/4 two times and he has not hit the board. That worries me. I'm just not a fan of this horse. I don't think he's very good. He's a closer. He's a plodder to me. He's just not a factor. I'll be passing on Honor Marie. Dornick. This horse won the Haskell and the Belmont, which is pretty impressive. You haven't heard a horse do that since Point Given in 2001 to win the Haskell and the Travers. So that's what he's shooting for this week. Dornick. I like this horse. I think he's the most likely winner here. He has tactical speed. He can be forward, but he doesn't have to have the lead. Danny Gargan has done a great job with this horse, and he's got Luis Saez, who will gun him out of the gate, get him right where he needs to go. And I really like him. He's going to win at the distance, and I think he is my top pick right now. I'll see what the weather's going to look like up at Saratoga. That will play a role in my final decision. But Dornick will be a use along with Corporate Power, and the 1 and 2 horses, which are Torpedo Anna and Sierra Leone. So that's 1, 2, 4, 7. It would actually be, if I was picking them in order, it would be 7, 2, 1, 4. I could go 7, 2, 4, 1, one of those two. But none of that would surprise me. But we do have one other horse left, and this is Fierceness. And Fierceness is a horse who is really, really talented. But there's a bouncing issue with him. And if you don't know what a bounce is, that means the horse runs very well, then he basically goes downward his next time. Then he bounces upward, and then he goes down the next time. So here are the races that Fierceness in his career, how he's done. He won his very first race, finished 7th in the Champagne, his second one. Breeders' Cup Juvenile, won it by 6 lengths. Next race, Holy Bull, finished 3rd. Next race, Florida Derby, won it by 13 lengths. Next race, Kentucky Derby, lost 15, beaten 24 lengths. And then the Jim Dandy, he won by a length. So he is going every other race right now in his career. And when horses do that, it's a focus issue. He thinks he's done everything he needs to do. He gets cocky. And then, oh boy, I'm in trouble. I just got beat. And now the next time, I'm going to be pissed off and I'm going to come back and win. So I can't trust Fierceness. He runs for Johnny Velasquez, the great jockey. He runs for Todd Pletcher, the great trainer. This has everything you would want. The outside post draw, I'm not wild about that. Inside post seemed to do a little bit better at Saratoga. But he could overcome that. But I just can't count on him to be ready to go. So I got to leave him off the ticket right now. But if you use Fierceness and you have a great feeling about him, I can't talk you out of it. But again, I'll be passing on him. I think Dornick gets the job done. I don't love him, but I think this is a wide-open race. But Dornick looks to be the first horse since Point Given in 2001 to win the Haskell and the Travers. My top pick is going to be Dornick. So got to go with him. Sierra Leone, I like. Also, Torpedo Anna, can't discredit her. And Corporate Power, the 4. So those are what I'm going to be doing in the Travers this weekend at Saratoga. Again, I post these picks, and I don't think I've mentioned this yet in this broadcast. BLS_PRP on X. That's Bettors Last Stand _PRP. That's what it stands for, Pine Room Podcast. So BLS_PRP, you can find that on X, and you can find all the picks. I list all the weekly picks from this show on there, and there are even picks that come out ahead of time that the show's already taped and I won't be able to get to, so I put them on there prior. A lot of times on the golf, if golf starts Thursday, we tape the show on Wednesday. I have the picks up by Thursday morning, so you can wager on them. Should you choose, and just to highlight that, we did have last week's winner, Hideki Matsuyama, at 29-1. We also had Lydia Ko, 40-1 the previous week at the Olympics. So we're running on a hot streak in golf. We'll see if we can keep that going in football. All right, let's jump into football right now. That's what everybody wants to talk about as we take you up to the Pine Room Watchdog football pregame show, which will take you into the Bel Air and Buckeye local game over at Nelson Field. All right. Let's go. This is going to be a speed version of football. We're going to Canadian football first. recapping Canadian football from last week. We were 2-3 on our picks last week, so not great. But we were 3-2, so we were actually above 500. We scratched out a winning week. We'll go right to Friday right now. It's Hamilton and Winnipeg. Winnipeg -9. The total 49. Both these teams struggling right now. Winnipeg 4-6. Hamilton 2-8. The home team's won the last four, and the last three of these games have went over in the series. So we're going to be going over the 49 points there, and I will take the Winnipeg Blue Bombers right now. They've won two in a row. Seem to be getting a little bit of momentum going here now. Their offense was very out of sync early in the season. So we're going with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers -9, and the total over 49 on Friday night. That's tonight, 8:30 kick, and you can see that game on CBS Sports Network. Tomorrow night, Saturday, it's the BC Lions heading to the Ottawa Redblacks. It'll be BC -1 on the road. The total 50 even. BC's won 8 straight in this series, if you can believe that. And the last four of these games have went over the total in the series. But we're going to take a shot with Ottawa here. Ottawa comes in 6-2-1. They're the home team here, BC 5-5. We're going to take Ottawa +1. It may be a pick. They might be +2. I'm not sure what it'll end up tomorrow, but we'll see. And we're going to go over 50 in Saturday's CFL game, 7 o'clock kick. It's Ottawa and over on Saturday. Sunday's game, it'll be the Edmonton Elks. They're red hot. They've won 3 in a row after an 0-7 start. They will be taking on the Montreal Alouettes. It'll be the Alouettes -6.5 at home, total 51.5. This is the road team has won 6 straight in this series, but I can't back the Elks here. I just don't think they got enough to win 4 in a row. It's going to be pretty tricky for them. Montreal 9-1, best team in the league. We're going to go Montreal and Edmonton under 51.5. I don't feel comfortable enough to lay the touchdown because I think it's going to go to 7 at least. So I'm going to pass on that. Elks playing hot right now. We're going to go under 51.5. I think Montreal will run the ball and grind it out here. And Edmonton probably doesn't want to get this in an up-and-down game because it's not going to bode well for them. So that's under in the game Sunday in the CFL. It's a 7 o'clock kick also on CBS Sports Network. All right, jumping over to Australian rules football. I told you this was going to be a predominantly football. I didn't tell you what football, but we're going to hit on just about everything. We go into the AFL. This is the final week of the regular season. We went 6-2 with our AFL season-long future bets. A couple of tough losses, but we clinched up two more last week when Geelong and Port Adelaide clinched top four spots in the AFL ladder. All right, let's start it out. It's Friday night, 11:45. You can, right after you listen to the Pine Room Watchdog High School Football OVAC Game of the Week right here on the Watchdog, you can tune in to this game, 11:45. It should be on Fox Sports 2 probably. It'll be the Geelong Cats hosting the West Coast Eagles. Geelong is going to be in the top four. They lay 51.5 points in this game against West Coast. The total 176.5. West Coast has been humiliated by Geelong several times in recent years, including I think they lost one by 85 2 years ago. Right now, it would be tough for Geelong to catch Greater Western Sydney for the third spot, but I think they just roll it up on West Coast and hammer them. So we're going with the Geelong Cats -51.5. And over the 176.5. Also, a late night Friday, early Saturday, 12:10 a.m. our time. It'll be Richmond hosting the Gold Coast Suns. This game doesn't matter at all, but I think Richmond playing for some pride, catching 11.5 at home here in a meaningless game, two bottom feeders. I'm going to take a shot with the Richmond Tigers here, and they are the worst team in the AFL. We had them under their win total of 9.5. They've won 2 games. That was a cigar smoker. We lit the cigar on that one back before the 4th of July, probably back almost at Memorial Day. But nonetheless, we'll go with Richmond here plus the 11. Another game, 2:35 a.m. early Saturday morning, late Friday night, however you want to look at that. Hawthorne Hawks, 13-9. They will host the North Melbourne Kangaroos. Hawthorne needs this win really bad. They're in 7th. 8 teams make the playoffs. This is the final week. It'll be Hawthorne -51.5 in the total 170.5. I can't lay 51.5 with Hawthorne. North Melbourne is 3-19, but I think Hawthorne really needs this game, and I think they'll just be focused on getting the victory, not necessarily running up the score. I think they'll be a little bit tighter than usual, but they're gonna score a lot of points in this game. They're gonna score well over 100, probably about 120, and I think it goes over the 170.5. I think they'll hammer North Melbourne and make themselves playoff bound or finals bound, as they call it in the AFL. Saturday games, 5:25 a.m. This is an early morning start. It'll be the Brisbane Lions. They've lost two in a row. They'll host the Essendon Bombers. It'll be Brisbane minus 36.5, total 170.5. Essendon lost all chance of making the playoffs last week with a terrible performance. They got flattened in the second half and never recovered against the Swans. Brisbane, they've lost two in a row. Like I said, they're struggling a little bit. They were really hot a few weeks ago, and they're pretty much locked in a safe spot, but they don't want to drop any lower than fifth, so I think they take care of business. They win the game by more than 36. Essendon has no reason to even show up for this game, so we go Brisbane minus the 36 on Saturday morning. Sydney and Adelaide. It'll be the Adelaide Crows at the Sydney Swans. Sydney has pretty much clinched the number one spot. They'll be laying 20.5 at home against the Crows, who are out of the playoffs, 8-13-1, and a disappointing season for them. 174.5 is the total. We're going to go with the game over the 174.5. So that's the Adelaide Crows, the Sydney Swans, over 174.5. 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time kick on Saturday night. It'll be the GWS Giants taking on the Western Bulldogs. Western minus 13.5 at home. The total, 162.5. GWS is pretty much locked in the third spot. Geelong would have to win by about 10 goals to be able to surpass them. Probably not going to quite happen, but they're going to win big. I don't think they'll win that big. Western in sixth position right now. They win, they're in. They're out with a loss and a Hawthorne win, which you already said we think Hawthorne will win. Carlton, who plays, Carlton, who plays the next game, and then Freeman, who plays the game on Sunday night, early morning Monday. I think Western will do enough to win this game. I don't think GWS has any reason to play anyone that they could, you know, it's banged up. They're going to rest some guys.
Reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only. All wagering activities should only be conducted by those 21 years of age or older and within the confines of federal, state, and local law. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, contact 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. All right, men, load the cannons and hold the line. You're listening to Better's Last Stand.
All right, welcome back in. Better's Last Stand here on the Watchdog Network on a Friday afternoon. All football all day here. If you haven't been listening, make sure you make an effort to do it next week. Baron Bob kick it off at 12 to 2, followed by the Pine Room Football Friday show from Gumby's, sponsored by Gumby's and Jill's Gentlemen's Club. Then we'll have an hour of this show, Better's Last Stand. You can find that one at the Pine Room Studios or anywhere you get your podcasts or on our YouTube page as well, each and every week for the full version. And then we got pregame, high school football pregame right here on the Watchdog, which will take you up to kickoff of our normal Friday game this week. It will be the game at Bel Air as they host Buckeye Local. All right, let's get into it. I stopped after the division, NFC North. NFC North was the division we just went over. So let me go through my picks here in chronological order, I guess, or in however I have them set up on the page. These are my future bet picks for the NFL. And again, last year, make note of this, folks. We were very good in our NFL best bets. Last year, 12-4-1 in our future bets. I was 5-2 in college football, 7-2-1 in the NFL. And in 2022, we were 26. That's 20 wins, 6 losses, and 1 push in our football future bets. So pretty good. That's, 32-10-2 over the last 2 years. Anybody will take that. And we don't just tell you when we win. We'll tell you when we lose. We're not going to always pick them right, but we're going to give you good insight and from a realistic point of view that maybe you can't get elsewhere. We like to think these things through, and our future bets have panned out. All right, let's start it off. It's the AFC East. Division pick will be the Buffalo Bills. I like the Bills over 9.5 and them to win the division. I like the Jets under 9.5. I like the Miami Dolphins under 9.5. I think both those teams might win right around 9 games. And then I'm going to go with my best bet in the division. It'll be the New England Patriots over 4 wins. I know everybody hates them right now. They think they absolutely stink, but I don't think so. I think they're a little bit better than people were giving them credit for. So we'll go with New England over 4.5. That would be like a 1-star, though. That is my best bet in that division. Let's go to the AFC North now. My best bet in that division would be the Pittsburgh Steelers over 8.5 wins. I think they win 9, 10, or 11 games. I am not a Steelers fan. If you didn't know that, I have no reason to make that pick other than I think that they are going to be much improved. I would like to see them add a wide receiver, which is going to be almost impossible at this point since the Brandon Ayuk thing fell through. They're also my pick to win a division. I think they get hot. I think they get the job done. Russell Wilson does enough for them to get to 10 wins or so. Baltimore, that's my favorite team, along with Cleveland. I like both of those teams quite a bit, but I got no lean here. Small lean to the under for Baltimore, 10.5 wins. Small lean to the under for the Browns, 9.5 wins. I just don't know what I'm going to get out of these. Both these rosters are solid, but the Ravens lost a lot off their team last year, and it'll be tough to duplicate. And then my best bet, my second best bet, I got two best bets in the North. It'll be the Cincinnati Bengals, once again, under 10.5. I just don't understand the love for this team. I picked them to finish last. That was one of our future bets last year that we cashed on, and that one definitely cashed, also under their win total, and I think that will happen again. I don't think there was much of a difference between Jake Browning and Joe Burrow. I know that most people would tell me I'm an idiot for saying that, but when I watch the games, I don't find Joe Burrow to do a whole lot of anything except throw the ball up in the air and Ja'Marr Chase make great plays on it, which anybody can really do. So anyway, Bengals under and Steelers over in the AFC North. AFC South, Houston, no play on them. 9.5, they're really good, but I worry about the little sophomore slump. I still think they're going to be a playoff team, but I just can't trust that everything will go perfect for them. Great roster, though. Great. Wouldn't surprise me if they made a deep playoff run. But I'm going to go with Jacksonville with a small bounce back here. I think Lawrence and Jacksonville will play a lot better. I think they had a rough season last year. He was nursing some injuries, and I think they bounce back. I'll go over 8.5, and I pick the Jacksonville Jaguars to win the AFC South. I love this bet. It's my favorite bet in the division. It'll be the Indianapolis Colts under 8.5. I absolutely love this. I was under on the Colts last year, and it cashed easily. I think this will cash easily, too. Anthony Richardson is not a pro quarterback. He is slightly better than Justin Fields. He's a great athlete. There's no question about it. He is dynamic, but he's going to get hurt. All he wants to do is run. He doesn't want to pass. He doesn't want to go through progressions. I have no faith in this team. I don't like the coach. I don't like anything about him. I say under on the Colts. So under 8.5, I think they have a bad year. Tennessee, no play. 6.5 is their win total. Think they'll be right around 6 or 7. Not terrible, not good. AFC West, Kansas City, over 11.5. They're to my division pick. Nobody's touching them yet. Even if they are disinterested, they'll probably still win 12 games. Chargers, they'll be improved. I think they'll win 9 games. Harbaugh's going to do a good job there. It's going to take a little bit of time. So we'll go over 8.5 for the Chargers. No play on Las Vegas. Don't really love them at all. And then I like Denver under 5.5. Not a Sean Payton guy, not a Bo Nix guy. I think Sean Payton's one of the most overrated coaches ever in the NFL. He had Drew Brees, and to me, he hasn't done much other than that. Moving on to the NFC. NFC East, Philadelphia Eagles team to beat here. They're my division pick. I got no play on their win total. 10 or 11, depending on where you're at, 10.5. I think they'll win right around that. I just think they're far and away the best team in this division. Dallas, second choice, 10.5. No play. I like the under there, but Dallas, they might have a shot. Both these teams could win 12 or 11 games, and I still think the Eagles are just a little better than Dallas. So no strong plays there other than Philly to win the division. And the Giants, I'm going to lean under 6.5. Not really loving anything in this division a whole lot. And then Washington, I like them over. I feel very good about the Redskins. I think their quarterback is going to be very dynamic, but he's not the guy who's going to tuck it and run every time. He's going to be able to do that, but he's going to try to pass, and I like that about him. He's going to stay in the pocket. He's going to try to pass. If Dan Quinn can get the defense to be halfway decent, they'll be okay. I like the Redskins. I think there's some positive vibes coming out of there for once, and it's good to see. So we'll go Redskins over 6.5 in the NFC East. I told you the ones in the NFC North, Detroit over 10.5 wins and to win their division. Green Bay, I got no play on them. Lean to the under, but don't love it. And then I love the Bears under 8.5. Caleb Williams isn't ready for this, and we'll see what happens. Minnesota, slight lean to the under for Minnesota. I don't love it, but I think they got a lot of problems right now. So we'll see what happens with the Vikings, but I'm not real high on them. NFC South, Atlanta, lean under 9.5 with them. Not a great pick because I think they've just made some really two very good roster moves. So that would worry me for an under bet there. So I may abstain from that bet completely. get out of it any way that I can with the Falcons. Moving on, Tampa. Lean over here. I like them. I like Tampa. I think they repeat in this division. I think they have a really good shot, and they win probably 9 or 10 games. I feel good about the Bucs. New Orleans under, love this. Best bet in this division, the NFC South. New Orleans under 7.5. I think they're terrible. I think they'll be the worst team in the league. And I think they'll finish last in this division. And that's right. I think Carolina over 4.5. I like that bet a lot. I'm good with the Carolina Panthers. I think they could win up to 9 games here. And honestly, it wouldn't shock me if they won this division. I know that's ridiculous to most people, but it wouldn't shock me. If Tampa had some issues, some injuries, it wouldn't shock me if Carolina was able to get the job done here. Then we go out west, NFC West, San Francisco, 11.5 is their win total. No play on that. I think they'll win right around that. Don't love them. Don't hate them. I think they're starting to wind down their run, which is, you know, a little bit of a concern if you're a Niners fan. But I do like two teams in this division quite a bit. Seattle Seahawks over 7.5. I think they'll win at least 8 games. Love the new coach. Like what they got there. If the quarterback play holds up, they're going to be very, very good contenders. The Rams over 6.5. Playoff team last year. They were good. They got two great weapons at receiver. They got a veteran quarterback who's won a Super Bowl and could get the job done. I know Aaron Donald's gone, but I really like this team. 6.5 is way too low of a win total for a club like that. They're very, very good. And then Arizona. No play on them. I think that they're trending in the right direction. I think they'll win 5 or 6 games, and they're going to knock off some teams. So you got to be aware of the Arizona Cardinals. I think they're very, very live. For these picks and more, follow us, BLS_PRP, or tune in to the full version of Bettors Last Stand. Going over to the college card right now, all of my college futures are up on the BLS_PRP X page right now, and I have all those win totals. But we're getting into week number 0 here and run through this card really quickly for you here on the Pine Room. Football Friday extravaganza, Bettors Last Stand style. This is Bettors Last Stand, the Pine Room Studios Sports Betting Network. Not network, sports betting podcast on the Watchdog Network. All right, here we go. We got Georgia Tech. We got Florida State. It's a game they're going to play in Dublin, Ireland, of all places. It'll be Florida State minus 10.5, total 55.5. This is a Saturday noon kick. Florida State opened 13.5. They're now down to 10.5. In the total, 55.5. It's kind of held from where it started. It's open 54, 55.5, or 55 in that range. We're going to go over in this game. I like over 55.5. Both these teams have defensive issues. Florida State breaking in a lot of new players. But I think Georgia Tech, who returns a quarterback, a starting quarterback, and I believe they return 8 stars on offense. And a team that was trending in the right direction last year was they won a couple games. One they shouldn't have won against my Miami Hurricanes, but we don't want to talk about that one. So I lean Georgia Tech a tad in that game. But I really, really like the over 55.5. Montana State and New Mexico. This is a 4 o'clock kick. FS1. It'll be Montana State coming out of the FCS. They're minus 11.5 in this game. Steamed up from the opener of 9.5. The total, 54.5. I like this game under. I think this is a sneaky under. I think that New Mexico has serious quarterbacking issues. Montana will ground and pound. And I think they control the line of scrimmage. So I'm going to go with Montana. I don't want this to get much higher than where it is right now, 11.5, 12, but I could still play it there. I don't want it to get to 13 or 14, of course, but I don't think it quite will. But we like the under there and a lean towards Montana State in that one here on College Football Week 0. The SMU Mustangs and the Nevada Wolfpack. This is an 8 o'clock kick on CBS Sports Network. It'll be SMU minus 24.5. The total 56.5 in this game. This opened SMU minus 20.5 all the way up to 24.5 now, if you can believe that. I thought the best value in this game was SMU's point total over. I think they'll probably score in the 40s here. They have a very good offense, a lot of returning players. They return 8 starters on offense, and they bring their quarterback back. So that's very beneficial. Nevada, one of the worst teams in Division I football last year. They do bring their quarterback back, but they only won 2 games last year. So I'm leaning the SMU point total over 38.5. I think you could play it up to 40, really. And then maybe even just lay the points with SMU. But 24.5 is getting up there a little too high for me. But we shall see. A look ahead real quick to next Thursday. It'll be a week from last night as we start into week 1. It'll be North Carolina and Minnesota. This game at Minnesota. Tar Heels at the Gophers. Right now, the Gophers laying 2. The total 50.5 here. These numbers have held up pretty good so far. Not a whole lot of of bets have been taken on this. I find a little bit of value here with the under in this game. I think Minnesota will run the ball, control it a lot. They got a new quarterback coming in. Both teams actually have new quarterbacks. Obviously, Drake May in the pros now. So North Carolina having to replace Drake May, and then they had to replace Sam Howard before that. So maybe the cupboard's a little bare for the North Carolina Tar Heels. I think they're going to be more prone to run the ball. Their running back is their top guy on their team, on their offense. So I think both these teams look to run the ball a lot, like under 50.5 is a little bit of a look-ahead spot to next Thursday, kicking off week one of the college football season. It's going to be a full gauntlet of games. You have the Penn State Nittany Lions traveling to Morgantown to take on the West Virginia Mountaineers, which should be a really good ball game. We'll see how that turns out. I'm going to lean Penn State there in the under. Penn State's going to be really good. Their defense, exceptional. So I think that could be some wishful thinking spots for the Mountaineers. I got a little bit of time left here, so we'll go ahead and go through my college football future bets here for the upcoming season. Again, we were very good in these spots the last 2 years. And again, I'm not somebody, I'll sit here and tell you when we suck, and there's weeks where we're absolutely terrible. But we were 12-4-1 last year, 5-2 in college, 7-2-1 in the pros. The year before that, 20 wins, 6 losses, 1 defeat. So over the past few years, we've done pretty well with futures. Did pretty well with futures for the Olympics, for the AFL season. So that might be our biggest strength on the show. You'll get weekly plays. You'll get future plays on here. Tune in, BLS_PRP. You can check us out on X. You can follow us at the Pine Room Studios on all the social media. And you can find our podcast, Better's Last Stand, that you're listening to right now, the full version, anywhere you listen to your podcast, or on our YouTube page at the Pine Room Studios, or the PineRoomStudios.com website. You can find the link to the show that way as well. All right, SEC, I went Alabama over 9.5 wins. I went LSU under 9.5 wins. I went Oklahoma over 7.5 wins. And my best bet in the SEC, it will be Florida under 4.5 wins. Really, really like that one. Florida's really going to be up against it. Their schedule is just brutal. If you've looked at it, you'll know what I mean. They have a really, really tough schedule. All right, to the Big Ten we go. I'm going to go with Wisconsin over 6.5 victories. We're going to go over 6.5 for the Nebraska Cornhuskers as well, and over on the Rutgers Scarlet Knights as well, and over on the Minnesota Gophers as well. And then our best bet in the conference, Big Ten, our Big Ten selection of the year, Indiana, the Hoosiers, over 5 victories. They're way undervalued, and their schedule is gettable. So a lot of overs there, but you know, the Big Ten is gigantic now, so there's plenty of teams that can win a lot of games in that conference. ACC, going to go with Miami, my Hurricanes, over 9 or 9.5. It's probably up to 9.5 now. I think they're a conference contender in a weak league. No, they're not very good, but they could win. North Carolina will go under 7.5 for them. California, the Golden Bears. Yes, that's weird that they're in the Atlantic Coast Conference. We'll go over 5.5 with the Cal Bears. We're going to go under 5.5 with the Pitt Panthers. And then some of our star-rated plays, it'll be Duke under 6 victories. I like that one. That is our ACC best bet of the year from the future standpoint. Then we got Wake Forest under 4.5. I like that one. And Stanford, the other old Pac-12 team. We'll go with the Stanford Cardinal over 3.5 victories for the season. On to the Big 12. A lot of people like this conference. The Mountaineers are in it. I don't have a play on the Mountaineers. I would lean towards the under. I think they win exactly 6. Schedule's a little tricky. We'll see how it goes. They got to beat Pitt. That's going to be a key game for them. But my college football best bet of the year, future-wise, outright futures, my best bet of the year, the Utah Utes over 9.5 wins. My college football best bet of the year on Bettors Last Stand. That is my favorite play. Utah over 9.5. I love that play. I think they're going to make the playoff. I think they're going to win the Big 12. So Utah Utes, I'm all over them. I was down on that team last year. It turned out to be a good bet for us. But we're going to go with them this year. They got a lot coming back. They got a great coach. They're coming into a weaker league. They were in the best conference in America last year. Now this is a huge step downward for them, but they're going to be the king of that conference. Oklahoma State's going to be tricky too. K-State maybe, but Utah is my pick. That is the best bet of the year, Utah, over 9.5. We go with Oklahoma State over 8 wins. I think they're a contender. Not quite as good as Utah, though, but they play each other. We'll see how it goes. West Virginia, I lean under 6.5, but I'm not an official play on them. Colorado lean under 5.5. Cincinnati over. I love their home schedule. They're very, very tough at home. 5.5 wins. I like them over 5.5, so go with the Bearcats. A couple other off the beaten path teams. We'll go with Liberty over 10.5 wins. They have the easiest schedule in the country. I think they'll cash in and win 11 games. They should go undefeated. Memphis over 9. They got a lot of transfers, but I like them over 9 wins. USF over 7. They've improved their program quite a bit, so we'll go over 7 wins for the South Florida Bulls. East Carolina over 5.5 wins. They were a team that I thought was on the cusp of being okay last year, but they could never get it out of first gear. So we're going to take a chance that they can this year. Go with the Pirates over 5.5. Colorado State, like them a little bit. They played Colorado tough. They have a little momentum in that program for the first time in 100 years. Colorado State over 6 we'll go with. Akron over 3.5 in the MAC conference. Like them, think they're quite improved. Kennesaw State. The Kennesaw State Owls, most people don't even know they're a Division I football team. Well, you're going to know about them this year as they make the transition. They're going to win 3 or 4 games for sure. So Kennesaw State over 2.5. And then our final college football future bet of the year, we're going to go with the UConn Huskies over 4.5 victories. So there they are. They're on BLS underscore PRP on X. You can check them out anytime, anywhere. Pro picks will be up as well. I put all those division picks and who I like coming up in the futures markets. And it's going to be an exciting season as we get close to kicking things off. Week 0 starting up on Saturday. Then we have, of course, Week 1 of college football starting up next Thursday, followed by Week 1 of the NFL the following week. So things are shaping up for a big, big football weekend here. You can check out everything you want to hear football from a football standpoint on Friday afternoon here, Bettors Last Stand. We are going to be in the 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock hour, bringing you right up to the pregame show for our high school game of the week. And in most cases, it'll be leading you into Wheeling Central, Wheeling Park, and John Marshall games on Friday nights. As again, we'll have every Wheeling Central football game for the exception of the opener. As Soup, Brian Campbell from the Pine Room, he is going to be getting married that week as they take on James Monroe during week 1. So we won't have that game from Wheeling Central. They're actually on the road at James Monroe. Won't have that game. But after that, we will. We'll have every Central game the rest of the way on WKKX, the Watchdog, of course. And then on WVOY, you'll get every Wheeling Park game except for one. I can't remember the one that we don't have, but it's a faraway trip. But so we're going to have 9 out of the 10 Wheeling Park games here on the Watchdog, and then every John Marshall game as well on the WatchdogNetwork.com. All right, so just a couple things to recap on Bettors Last Stand, show number 97 on the Watchdog Network for the first time officially. We've had the shows slide in here. We've done a couple of BLS versions on the Watchdog on our Friday show from time to time, but this is going to be the regular home for the Bettors Last Stand show in the coming days during football season from 5 to 6 p.m. So we're excited about it. We're excited about our Football Fridays entire day, actually. Our Football Friday show 2 to 5 brought to you by Gumby's and Jill's Gentlemen's Club. We'll be out at the Gumby's in Elm Grove and Moundsville and all over the area in the coming weeks. And we hope you'll stop by, give us a honk, give us a wave, and stop in and get all your tailgate goodies, get your beer, get all your smoke products, all your snacks, everything you need. Beef jerky, everything that gets you through the day and the evening as you're headed to a football game, whether it's the Mountaineers, whether it's the Steelers, the Browns, high school games, whatever you need, Gumby's will have what you want. Duggar's Saucy Spread Challenge will start up next week. 5 games on each side of the river. Our guest celebrity pickers will all compete, and see if Kayleen can defend her crown. She was the champion last year. Edging out our buddy Jerry Ames, who gave a valiant effort but fell just short last season. But again, recapping our Football Fridays, Bear and Bob kick it off every Friday, 12 to 2. Then it's the Pine Room guys on the Football Friday show, 2 to 5 from Gumby's, presented by Gumby's and Jill's Gentlemen's Club. Then it's right here, Bettors Last Stand, 5 to 6. You'll get an hour of Bettors Last Stand, full version available at the Pine Room Studios on YouTube, at thepineroomstudios.com. on the website or wherever you get your podcasts. Then that will take you into the pregame for the high school game of the week, which in most cases it's going to be our Wheeling Central or Wheeling Park broadcast along with our John Marshall broadcast on WatchdogNetwork.com. And then it's the game itself. Coach and Soup will be on those various calls. Coach doing all the Wheeling Park games while Soup will handle the Central action. We'll have various different Pine Room celebrities. sideline reporters, all kinds of available amenities for you to take in all the action of Wheeling Park, Wheeling Central, and John Marshall football this fall on the Watchdog. And then it'll be the scoreboard show after the games, and then we'll be back and doing it all again the following week. Pine Room show on Monday. Could be getting the Knicks for the coming weeks as the workload is building quite quickly. And then Tuesday, the Tuesday version of the show, the Pine Room on the Watchdog will be our regular 12 to 3 version with our variety show, a little bit of everything. Fun listen if you want to pop us on at work or when you're driving. That's going to do it for us. Better's Last Dance show number 97 from the Watchdog Pine Room Studios in downtown Wheeling. We will be back next week with another action-packed episode. And again, you can find us at the Pine Room Studios on all the social media at pineroomstudios.com. Our website, BLS_PRP, our X handle for all the picks. And we're going to take you out to our high school pregame show and then out to a few games here in just a little bit. So don't go anywhere. The Watchdog is your place for all the football action this fall. And again, we'll remind you, the Brownie House. Get on over to yesbrownies.com today. 20% off your order. Use promo code PINEROOM. And you want to get those things. That's another thing that'll go great with your tailgate here as football season is upon us. That will do it for us on Better's Last Stand. We will be back next week with another action-packed show here on The Watchdog. Have a great evening, everybody.
Reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only. All wagering activities should only be conducted by those 21 years of age or older and within the confines of federal, state, and local law. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, contact 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. All right, men, load the cannons and hold the line. You're listening to Better's Last Stand.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, that's supposed to be the year, right? 2025. Everybody's been telling us. Oh, well, let's move on to something a little bit more entertaining and positive right now. Let's go to open wheel racing. We're going to recap both open wheel circuits back this week. Obviously, the Indy guys were back last week, and then you got the F1 guys joining them, and of course, NASCAR. Two races left till the playoffs. We'll talk about all that stuff right here on BLS. All right, so let's recap last week. And I was bummed out about this one because I thought I had a really good – I had Scott McLaughlin in the race. He led 67 freaking laps, and the late caution does me in. Newgarden gets the lead, gets the jump on the restart, and holds him off. And he really pulled away. It wasn't even close. Man, Newgarden, he really wasn't – he wasn't running very well most of the race, and then, man, he was like a rocket. Every time I see that out of him now, I'm going to suspect that he's cheating again. Because it looked like he just blew everyone away on that last restart. I mean, McLaughlin had the best car the whole night, and he couldn't even keep up with him. He was 2 seconds behind by the end of it. Yeah. Yeah, tough one there. My other pick, Pato O'Ward, he was behind the wall with a mechanical failure just about 42 laps into the race. So, had one contender. At least we got McLaughlin home in a top three performance. He finished second. Any other observations about that race other than Newgarden cheating? Yeah, how about that? Stingray, Rob with the ninth place. Actually, I apologize to Stingray. That should have been the lead story on Better's Last Stand. Stingray Rob with a top 10 finish there. He actually led laps in the race, if you can believe that. He led 8 laps. I couldn't believe what was going on. When I flipped over and flipped back, I thought every other car had wrecked, and he was at the top of the pylon. I was shocked. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and how about Nolan Siegel in 7th and Rhenus VK making an appearance in the top 10? Yeah, I'll tell you who's not back is Marcus Ericsson. Whatever has gone wrong with this dude, he can't even compete right now. I mean, have you ever seen a bigger fall from grace than this guy? Right. Yeah, he didn't go from Red Bull to Williams. Like, come on. Like, it can't be that bad. Yeah, I don't know. But nonetheless, we were close to a winner last week. Didn't get the job done. New Garden gets to victory lane. All right, let's focus ourselves on Portland. Alex Palou, defending champion. Scott McLaughlin won 2 years ago. Palou dominated this race last year. He led 69 laps and pretty much went from start to finish. He started fifth and obviously won. Any observations, anybody you're leaning towards here? I have one guy a little bit under the radar I'm curious to get your thoughts on, but give me what you got. Tell me who you're liking heading into Portland. I like him a lot. Yes, I got him marked too. He's one of my top contenders in this thing. Right. Yes. Yeah, no, I like him a lot. I had him as my pick to win. And then my second choice, Graham Rahal. I like him. He's led some laps here. He started on the pole here last year. He's been running okay, and I think he can maybe get a little bit of momentum here, maybe get a top 10 or top 5 here. What do you think of him? Okay. He had a good car last week and he got in an accident. It really wasn't his fault. Right. Well, and going back to last week's race, I thought Will Power was going to kill somebody after it. Guy looked like he was playing a wrestler's character. He was like trying to, he was looking around like he wanted to fight somebody. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, the quarters are tight out there on these tracks, and you know, people get together, and I think Malakas had a good car last week, and he just got collected, so I like that pick a lot. So you're gonna go with Dixon to win it. We're both on Dixon to win it. All right, well, that can't go wrong then. And then Scott McLaughlin's obviously gonna be a serious contender. I mean, he's almost like the Kyle Larson of this circuit. Like, he's always gonna be in contention. I'll be curious to see what Alex Palou's odds are, because he does have a good, you know, good form at this track, so I may take a shot with him. And then Pato O'Ward, off of a bad performance, maybe he could jump up in there. But I'm with you. I'm liking Dixon on top, so we'll see if he can get the job done out at Portland as the season is nearing its end. Hard to believe. NASCAR's got 12 to go, and Indy's got 2. Yeah, incredible. All right. Let's get over to F1 racing. It is back after the Olympic and summer break. Whoa, man, we got a little bit to talk about here. The last time we chatted about F1, it was under strange circumstances as Lewis Hamilton awarded the victory as his teammate, George Russell, was disqualified in Belgium. So, again, Lewis Hamilton finds himself on the top of the podium. George disqualified, finishes last. But you got to like the Mercedes guys this week. I mean, I think they're strong contenders here. And maybe the biggest thing about F1 right now, as you come back off the break refreshed, is Max Verstappen has gone 4 races without winning. That is remarkable. And it's his home track. I agree with that. Again, Hamilton wins in Belgium by de facto win. He did lead 15 laps, and he was, by all accounts, going to track George Russell down. And somehow, George Russell's tires lasted like 20 more laps than they ever should have. So maybe that's why he got DQ'd. But, yeah, Verstappen, 2-time defending champion here. He led 61 laps in last year's victory in a dominating performance. And the year before that, he was dominating as well. He led 58 laps. But, like you said, Sam, there's new shooters now, and these guys are on even terms with him. Lewis Hamilton led 14 laps in this race 2 years ago. So I think he's a contender. George Russell finished second here 2 years ago. The Ferraris have had some decent run here. Actually, Fernando Alonso finished second in this race last year, if you can believe that. And Pierre Gasly, third. That's a remarkable performance by him. And then maybe the most remarkable is that Sergio Perez was actually turning out good finishes still last year. Verstappen plus 185. Man, I don't think I can play him at that number. It's his home track. I know that. But I'm looking at either a McLaren or a Mercedes. How about you? He has. He's due to break through. Yeah, and Lando Norris, the second choice at plus one. Actually, he's the first choice at some spots. I'd see he plus 175, max around 185. So you could find probably varying depending on how people are playing it. Do you think there's any value on both Mercedes drivers come in around 10, 11 to 1. Do you think there's any value on Piastri? He's $5.50, close to $6, and there's not much between him and Lando Norris right now as Piastri continues to improve by leaps and bounds every single week. Yep, I like it. I even think McLaren double podium has got a shot. Now, how about this? They're not that far off from these cars, but could Ferrari have done something in the few weeks off to, you know, rejuvenate themselves? You got Charles Leclerc at 18-1, Sainz at 26-1. I'm looking at those guys and saying, man, these prices are getting away a little bit here. Remember, last year they were the only team that could contend with Red Bull even at all. Not that they did it every week, but they could do it once in a while. I think maybe there's a little value on Ferrari. What do you say? Yes. Yeah, it certainly is. And if you go out and you look at markets like double top six and things like that, then it kind of gets interesting for you too, because if you have both Mercedes and both McLarens in there, there's four spots. You got Max as a fifth, and then somebody's the odd man out. Is it going to be one of the Mercedes cars? Is it going to be one of the McLaren cars? Or is it going to be Max? And I doubt it'll be Max, because that's the one thing about him is I don't see it getting to the point where he is not able to at least contend for podiums every week. He might not be able to overtake both of the cars from these teams, but I feel like he can still get one or the other from a week-to-week basis. What do you think? Right. Yeah, you're right. And that's actually good for the sport. So, yeah. We were down, and then in recent weeks, it's kind of brought us back into it. It's really been a good year for F1. I think it's rejuvenated interest. You've had several different winners. I mean, Carlos Sainz won a race still, and Lando won a race, and Leclerc won a race, and now both Mercedes guys have won a race, and, well, both McLaren. So, I mean, you're getting double winners out of all these teams. I mean, that's three teams that have had double winners. That's awesome. And Red Bull wasn't one of them, because Sergio Perez, I wonder what he did over the break. Yeah, he needed to. Maybe he should start applying for seats in NASCAR or something. Come on, man. All right, any long shots, any of the outside teams you think maybe could sneak in the top 10 or anything like that? Okay, I like it. It's a good safe one. Yeah, no, he's gotten as much as he can get out of a car, I would say, for him. Yeah, he is. So we're excited for the Dutch Grand Prix. That's 9 a.m. on Sunday. Good to have that back in the mornings. I know I've been starved for morning action. I got soccer back this last weekend. And now with the Olympics gone, it's racing and soccer. That'll get me through, along with Australian rules football. All right, on to the stock cars. We have two races left until the playoffs. And, man, this is getting exciting. And slowly but surely, Tyler Reddick is looking like he is having just a ridiculous year. He continues. I think he leads the circuit in top tens. And he gets into victory lane in overtime at Michigan, 7-1. And why not? He could probably be a contender here at Daytona coming up Coke Zero 400. We got 2 weeks until the playoffs begin. I believe, we started off in Atlanta, I think. So, yeah, we got Darlington next and then Atlanta for the playoffs. Right now, Kyle Larson, the leader in points, safely in. Chris Bell, Denny Hamlin, William Byron, Tyler Reddick, Ryan Blaney, Austin Cindric, Chase Elliott, Joey Logano, Daniel Suarez, Brad Keselowski, Alex Bowman. Oh, man. Those guys all in the playoffs right now. Then you got guys fighting it out. Martin Truex, Ty Gibbs, Chris Buescher, Ross Chastain, Bubba Wallace, Kyle Busch. Man, Sam, this is going to be exciting. And, you know, I will say I enjoy this playoff race just for these guys that are getting in the final spots almost as much as I do the guys up near the lead, because it gives you a whole different element and something else to watch out there on a Sunday. Yeah. Yeah, you sure do. And he did run well last week. He was a contender. He led some laps. Yeah, he has. It's been snake bit all year. It's weird. That whole team is just, there's bad vibes in that whole garage area. Not good. And then I'll tell you this, it's kind of surprising is that Chris Buescher's in a fight now to get in here. And this is a guy that's been very steady. He was really good down the stretch last year. This is a race that he can definitely win. He's on my contenders list this week. Out of these guys, Truex, Gibbs, Buescher, Chastain, Bubba, you already talked about Kyle. Who do you feel most confident in at this point? That's a tough one. Oh, Briscoe, yeah. Oh, yeah, and anything could go wrong fast there. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, Michael McDowell's ran well here at Daytona. Obviously won the Daytona 500. Yeah. Yeah, you remarked about him, and I gotta tell you, I've watched him a little bit more thoroughly the last few weeks, and the guy's a good racer. There's some good young drivers here. Zane Smith's been impressive to me. Obviously, Ty Gibbs is just knocking on the door hard right now. He's going to win here very, very soon. It's coming. I think he will. I think he will. I think even if he doesn't make it into the playoffs, I think he can still be a guy that'll steal a win from somebody. I like him. Third place last week. Very strong performance. You said Hochevar with another great performance, and even Noah Gragson, another good performance. So, I think this race, obviously, every time you go to Daytona, it's just, can you stay out of the mess? Can you avoid the big, big wreck? That's why I just never play guys with low prices here, because it just doesn't make any sense. Like, it doesn't matter how good their cars are. It's more about luck. It's more about strategy. Who stood out to you among the contenders? Anybody that you're liking a lot? And I mean, it's basically a crapshoot here. Yeah, I have Elliott. Yep. Yeah. I know. How? He could. Yeah, and he won at Talladega early this year, so he's the plate racing, obviously, he's strong there. He's about 17-1, which is a very good price for a guy like that. He's going to be in the mix. How about Brad Kay? I mean, this guy's really good on these big, big tracks, and he's got some momentum. He's been pounding out some top 10s lately. I like him a lot, 13-1, and then his teammate Buescher at around 12. Yeah. He sure is. I got him highlighted around 30-1. I mean, he's going to be a longer shot guy. I'm going to play. I mean, he's won here. He can definitely win this race. I haven't been impressed with his progression as a driver, though, which worries me a little bit. But no, I would definitely take a shot with him. I thought he and Ty Gibbs both interesting and decent prices. Justin Haley 75-1 and Priest at 60-1. Those are always guys that I'm going to look for at one of these large super speedway races. And then My pick to win, this is going to be an odd one, but I like it. He's been in the top five the last three of the Super Speedway races. Alex Bowman is going to be my pick this week, Sam. He's waking up, right? Yes. Don't forget about me. I'm the forgotten Hendrick racer, but don't forget about me too much. So I'm going with Bowman. I like Elliott and Kislowski as my second two, and then those long shots that I talked about. Joey Logano, too short of a price for me for him. He's only like 9 to 1, 10 to 1. Denny Hamlin, same thing, 10 to 1. Can't take a play on that. I'll tell you what, Martin Truex has improved a little bit on these super speedways, because for a while in his career, I've never really backed him, but he's run okay this year on these big tracks. So not completely against him. How about you? Ricky Stenhouse, any of these guys stand out to you that maybe could surprise? How about your boy Chastain? Another disappointment last week for you. Right, because this is when he does his best work, when it's the backs to the wall. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, No, he can definitely contend. And then a guy that we always seem to not talk about, although I did a lot last year down the stretch, is Ryan Blaney. I mean, the guy's just solid, great racer, great on these big tracks. 12 to 1, that's a fair price on him. Even Austin Dillon, 30 to 1. Now he needs to win again to try to get himself in there, which was a justifiable penalty, as we discussed before about that. We were hoping that NASCAR would do something. They finally did, so that's good. Probably well-deserved. William Byron. I mean, this is really... People, if you're somebody that you really got a good gut feeling about at a good price, roll the dice, because this can happen. I mean, we've seen it. I mean, Ryan Preece has almost won these races before. McDowell's won one. I mean, a lot of guys that are under the radar that can win these races. Yeah. So who's your top play going to be? Elliott? Okay, all right. I like it. Reddick goes back to back. That's very possible, especially at these kind of tracks. And I'm sure MJ will be in the house coming off of his big fishing trip that he had last week. He'll probably be down in Daytona. So should be a exciting race, 7:30 p.m. on Saturday. Looking forward to that. Always like Daytona under the lights. Never a bad thing there. So it's good to have the racing back, Sam. It's good to have you back. Anything else on your mind from a sports perspective that we didn't hit on or that went on over the last couple of weeks since you've been gone? Well, maybe if they sweep them, though. They beat them last night. Maybe they sweep them. I know. Right. Well, maybe if they win the next two there, get it to 4, and then maybe something happens. I don't know. Just talking baseball real quick before we let you go. Obviously, the Pirates are done. Do you think any of the other Central teams can mount a charge? Obviously, Milwaukee's impressed me now. I was never high on them. I still am a doubter, but they've done everything that's been asked of them. They built a huge lead, and they're walking into the playoffs. But do you think the Reds, Cardinals, or Cubs have any prayer of tracking the Braves down for that last spot? Right. They're all the same. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think they can. The Reds. Yeah, no. And I think they all are the same in one way or another. I think the Cubs have the stud pitching. Like, they have a couple of really reliable starters that they can go to. The Cardinals, to me, are just old. And they keep treading water a little bit, but they just have no punch and no zip. Now, the Reds have a little bit of zip because they got some young blood, but they're inconsistent. So, I mean, each one of them has a vulnerability, I would say. I don't think they get it done. I think you're more likely to see a fourth team from the West catch the Braves and the Giants. The Giants are still there. They just got beat by the White Sox today as I'm talking to you right now, so that isn't good. But I feel like the Giants aren't done yet. They're good enough to maybe hang in, but Atlanta is probably just going to do enough to make it in, because you got to figure Arizona and San Diego are already in. They might. Nah, they don't. They're missing some really key guys. I mean, maybe arguably their three best players, two position guys and a pitcher. But yeah, but they can't win every year. It's the way it goes. That's baseball. And the American League. Oh, I forgot about the Mets. I am not a Met guy. They beat the Orioles today in a walk off, which pissed me off. I don't know what the Orioles are doing. They had a bases loaded, nobody out in the eighth inning, and then they got one run out of it, and just stupidness. I don't know. I don't think the Mets. I don't know. They do have momentum, though. I will say their guys are playing way above their heads right now. So maybe we'll see if they can hang on. In the American League, well, the Mariners, I was high on them, and my God, they've plummeted. Losing 2 or 3 to the Pirates is never good, and they continue to struggle. So I think they're about done. Looks like Kansas City and Minnesota are right now in a pretty good spot. Boston clinging to life with a terrible bullpen. Yeah, I don't know. It's almost over for some of these teams. They better turn it around fast. Yeah, it sure is. All right, Sam. Well, thanks as always for joining us. Glad to see you back, feeling better. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the 3 races this weekend. That's exciting to say again for the first time for at least a couple more weeks until IndyCar is over. But that's all right. You got Bucko baseball. Yippee. All right, well, we'll see you next week, and appreciate all the insight as always. All right, go Bucks. That's Sam the Man checking in from Upper St. Clair, back with us after a week off. That's going to do it for us on Bettor's Last Stand. Sorry for all the hectic chaos that went on. We did our Watchdog version of the middle portion of the show, so if you heard me talking Watchdog during it, that's why. We're supplementing that over to the radio for Friday for the listener's pleasure. That'll do it for us. Show number 97 from the Pine Room Studios, sponsored by the Brownie House. We'll be back here next week with show number 98. Have a wonderful weekend. Best of luck on all your wagers, and we'll see you next week on Bettor's Last Stand.